This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois is the latest state to pass a version of what's known as the Crown Act, an acronym that stands for Creating a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair. The law prohibits discrimination based on a person's hair texture or style, such as locks, braids, and twists, and expands upon the previous Hawkins Act, signed into law last year, which we talked about on the 21st Show with the mother of young Mr. Hawkins, which banned hair discrimination in Illinois schools. The Crown Act also applies to other situations covered by the Illinois Human Rights Act, such as real estate transactions and other housing accommodations, for example. Joining us to talk more about this is Illinois State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, a Democrat from Peoria. Representative Gordon Booth, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Listeners, you can join our conversation as well at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I should say we're also hoping to hear from somebody who has their own story of hair discrimination. It is actually a barber at a barber school and had to pick up a haircut. So we live in a capitalist economy. Hopefully he can join us soon. So Representative Gordon Booth, I want to begin with you. And I just want to begin by asking, have you ever faced hair discrimination yourself?
You know, I have not faced it personally. Certainly I have been close to people. My daughter has experienced hair discrimination. Certainly my mother, who was someone who was born in the 1940s and grew up in the Jim Crow segregated South before coming to Illinois during the Great Migration. She most certainly did. And I think that the intersection of having a mother as well as a daughter having experienced hair discrimination was something that really pushed me to want to introduce this bill back in 2019 when I introduced it.
So what form does that discrimination take for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with it?
Certainly. So for some folks, that discrimination shows up in the example. I'd be remiss if I didn't share the droves of men and women who have reached out to me at every point of this bill, sharing profound stories about not being able to be hired for a job because that they had locks, not being able to get a promotion unless they were willing to cut their hair, not being able to make the cheerleading team, not being able to, have the advancement. And with all cards being on the table, them being told the reason why they were not going to be able to move forward, not because they didn't have the talent, the skill, the drive, the work ethic, but merely because of their hair. And I think the reason why this is so important is something that I live with on a daily basis, as well as a woman who has textured hair. The likelihood of a person who wears protective styles. If you're an African-American woman and you wear a protective style, you're much more likely to be physically fit. To not have a protective style, it is very difficult to manage that texture and, you know, get up 4 or 5 a.m., do the workout every day, and then still have the ability to pull yourself together in a professional manner every day. One of the stories that I'm actually working on a docu-piece right now, and my mother was a woman who was very solid, very smart, worked very hard, and was a very dedicated person to family and community. And she was not vain. I'm probably far more vain than my mother was. But the one thing that, again, she grew up in a different era than I'm growing up in. And one of the things that she knew growing up in the 60s, was that you had to have what was deemed as perfect, as acceptable. She would always say acceptable hair. And so she would do the perms and the things oftentimes that are very damaging to one's hair. And my mother ended up having a challenge later in her, she had a challenge towards the end of her life with the medication that she was taking. She was not able to do the medication along with the perms, which you often hear about, that African Americans and some other communities will do it as well, that have the textured hair. They'll put these chemicals in their hair that burn your hair pretty bad, burn your scalp pretty bad. And my mother, I remember her scalp had become so tender that she felt that she had to ease up on her medication so that she could get this perm that, you know, she had come up in a time during society when this was just indoctrinated. This was what you just had to do. My mother ended up dying of a heart attack later on that week. I don't want to say it was simply because of this, simply because of her hair, but it certainly played a part. It certainly played a role in her easing up on her medication so that she would, her hair would be less tender during that process of straightening the hair. And again, I want to emphasize, my mother was not a vain woman, but she grew up in a time that is very different from the one that we're growing up in, where you have the ability, have made it illegal to be able to discriminate against someone simply because of the way that they wear their hair.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that about your mother. That sounds incredibly difficult. And I know, like you said, you'll never know if it was sort of the proximate cause, but you have the suspicion in the back of your head. Let me just remind listeners, we're speaking with State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth. This is the 21st show. We're talking about the Crown Act. Illinois is the latest state to pass a version of this, which prohibits discrimination based on a person's hair, texture, or style. 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation, we have Trudy on the line from Bloomington. Trudy, thank you for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me. Excuse me. I used to work at a fabric store here in town. This was like 1998, early 2000s. And I wanted to wear my hair in dreadlocks, which I had done before, but this was new growth, and I'm twisting my hair, and it takes a while, a couple of months for it to lock up. And the job told me that my hairstyle was going to run customers away from the store. The older women were not used to that type of hair. They were afraid of it, and I would either have to change my hairstyle or I would have to leave the job because they did not want money leaving the job. So I eventually did leave the job. And it was painful, but at the same time, if I had to make a decision, if I had to make that decision again, I would do it again. Because how we have to manage our hair and to be acceptable, and if people can't accept it, then we need to go somewhere else where we are accepted.
Thank you for sharing that. How did that affect you, having to change jobs or find a new
job? Well, it kind of made me mad, but not mad enough to change my hair because I have tender hair also, like the speaker was just saying. And how I have to manage my hair, even now, I wear a hat or a scarf all the time because I have hair loss due to medication and chemotherapy. So there are some places that don't want you at your best state. So then you have to go somewhere else. So it was a little painful, but that's okay. You move on, go to a better position. You do what you got to do.
Well, Trudy, thank you so much. I'm sorry you went through that, but we really appreciate you sharing your story with us today.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You as well. Representative Booth, I wondered if you wanted to respond to what you just heard there.
Absolutely. First and foremost, Trudy, thank you for sharing that. But did you catch one of the things that Trudy said at the end? It's okay. That is a problem, right? And I say that's a problem because that is how you know how insipidous this has become, right? That this level of discrimination has become so commonplace that we just tell ourselves that these things are okay. And because you figure out a way to do the best that you can and you move on and you try not to cry over spilled milk. But the reason why I think that it's important to highlight that is because there are a lot of folk who have, like my mother, right, who just accepted that this is the way that it's supposed to be because this is the way that it is. And frankly, it isn't right because I, no more than Trudy, no more than the other millions of women and men, frankly, we don't get to choose the way that our hair grows out of our head. So to be discriminated against because of something that you cannot control, it's wrong. I think often, particularly in these last few months, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is now in the highest court of the land. And if you look at many metrics, right, I mean, we certainly could get into a debate about, you know, who's more qualified and who isn't. But many of the metrics that I've seen over the last few months, the boxes that she checks, the, you know, Ivy League undergrad, Ivy League law school, having worked not only as a prosecutor, but also as a defense attorney, having worked with legal aid, the breadth of experience that she has had is going to make make us have a far better court, in my estimation, over the years. And I believe that we will see that over the years. Just think that that particular skill set that that woman in certain spaces and in certain places could have been rejected simply because of the way that her hair grows out of her head, because she too wears a natural hairstyle. And I think that there could not be a more profound example in this moment, right, that we as a state of Illinois have passed this Crown Act legislation prohibiting discrimination based upon the way that an individual wears their hair. And at the very same time, juxtaposing the fact that we are sending the first African-American woman, but specific to this conversation, we are sending a woman to the highest court of the land that has natural hair. Thankfully, she was blessed to be able to reach that height. Maybe if she lived in a different place in the country, maybe she would have been stopped because of the fact that she wears her hair in a natural hairstyle. And that would be a loss for all of us. And so it was not lost on me that this legislation was actually signed into law the very day that she was actually sent to. It was confirmed. She was confirmed for the Supreme Court on the day that this was signed into law.
Yeah, there's we only have a few minutes left in our conversation. There's an economic dimension to this too, isn't there? Because I think Essence Magazine reported at one point that people in the Black community spend $50 million on hair care products like relaxers. It's an expensive.
No, it's $3 billion.
$3 billion. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. $3 billion. Yes, the natural hair industry. Even once you go outside of perms, the natural hair industry is an $8 billion industry yearly. If you go into any Walmart, Target, you go into any store, you will see an entire section dedicated, whether it be smaller ethnic owned brands or even Dove, who is the major corporation that has been the driving force behind this policy at the national level. And everybody on down has identified this as a major economics driver and has divisions that specifically focus on ethnic hair because, frankly, it's just different, right? It isn't the same as non-ethnic hair, and it requires a different level of attention, and it's also quite expensive, I must say.
Can you just briefly, I mean, if you're comfortable talking about it, your own hair care routine or regimen, do you find yourself spending more time than you'd like to on this?
Oh my God. God, yes. More time, more money than I would like to. Because I am at a place in my life where, I am a woman of a particular age. I'm 40 and I have to, you know, present myself. I'd like to try to present myself in a manner in which I'm comfortable. I like to present myself in a manner in which if I'm photographed, I'm comfortable in the way that photograph looks. But I also have to put myself in a position to be able to take care of my body long term. And so just wearing my hair naturally outside of protective styles, frankly, it isn't an option. And so I actually just got a protective style done to my hair just recently. And it was hundreds of dollars. And I'll have to repeat that in a few weeks. And again, this is the story of many, many African-American and women of other ethnicities. This is the story of our lives. And this is what we have to, this is just the reality that we have to deal with. And so you want to be able to put yourself in a position where you can keep your hair healthy and you can take care of yourself. You don't want your hair breaking off because that presents all kinds of other issues. Mm-hmm. But it is the reality of many women, of many ethnicities, in particular African-American women.
State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth is a Democrat from Peoria. Representative Gordon Booth, thank you for being with us and sharing your personal story with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you so much for your time.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. The 21st Show is produced by Jose Zepeda and Aiden Choate. Our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering from Steve Mork and Jason Croft. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.